Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're here every single Tuesday live on TalkSport to myself and the great Gareth A. Davis. If you can't join us live, remember to subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel. So much other great content there as well, such as Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and even the Mike Tyson story, The Boy from Brownsville.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If you love your boxing and your MMA, this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis, where we discuss all the latest from the world of combat sports. Today, we're going to look back on a thrilling fight from Saturday night as Mauricio Lara got the better of Lee Wood to win the WBA featherweight title in Nottingham. We'll get stuck into the fight and the decision by Woods trainer Ben Davison to throw in the towel, which has seemed by some as the wrong decision, not me. We'll also talk what next for Lara after he admitted to spitting at Josh Warrington ringside as the pair look to tee up a trilogy fight. One rematch that won't be happening is Josh Taylor and Jack Catchell. The pair were due to meet again after the controversial fight last year, but Taylor now looks set to fight Teofimo Lopez. We are going to be hearing from both men shortly about why exactly this fight fell apart and if there's any chance we'll see it again. And we're going to get stuck into the big one. Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury this weekend. Remember, it's on Sunday and it'll be live and exclusive and free to TalkSport listeners. Look, busy show, don't go anywhere. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Well timed, but...
Oh! That was simultaneously landing left hooks and downward goes. The danger very much still there. Dying seconds of the seventh round. Can Lara finish it here now? Barely 10 seconds to go and the towel comes in.
Miff Eubank fight on. The Friday pulls out, and then in the week following, it was already plans to fight Lopez.
Benji wants done his own fighter out a mega fight because it's just to get him out and keep fit. I actually think that it's a better fight than the Carter fight. I think it's a harder fight than the Carter fight. I think Teofimo Lopez is a much higher caliber of opponent than Carter.
Tommy Fury, brother Tyson Fury, you know, yeah. Fury family. This kid cannot lose. This fight, there is so much pressure on it.
You mean cannot afford to lose?
Cannot afford to lose. There is so much pressure on
it. If by some miracle you manage to beat Tommy Fury, then I'll listen to you. I'll have a little chat with you, see what garbage comes out of your mouth, see what you've got to say. But until then, don't talk about me.
Gareth, my man, how are we, sir?
Yeah, very good. We're right into the thick of it now, aren't we? Fantastic fight of the weekend, as you said. We'll talk about that in a moment. This kind of enormous event, really. It's going to be a big event. You called it the big one. It's Fury versus Paul. It's big for lots of different reasons. We're going to get stuck into that. And like you say, I've managed to speak to both Jack Catterall and Josh Taylor in the last few days, and we're going to hear them speaking. Interestingly, both going sideways now. There's a lot of blame game going on, which we'll hear. Teofimo Lopez, Josh Taylor is a mouth-watering fight, as, by the way, is Jack Catterall against Regis Progre. I think they're both phenomenal fights. And Jack, as he will tell us later, is not fighting on March 25th now. It'll be in the summer. So if they both fight and they both win, they both want to fight each other later on. It's one of those woulda, shoulda, coulda fights. And Josh Taylor's injury, obviously, the plantar fascia injury, put the kibosh on that. But it's a shame, really. But there's a lot of blame game going on there at the moment.
Yeah, as you say, we are going to hear from both. You did speak to both on the weekend. You were in the studio on Saturday with Adam Catchell doing the Fight Night show again. Fantastic. Listen, you were watching then, I'm guessing, the Lee Wood Mauricio Lara fight live. So I want to get your take live first and then the aftermath. When you saw the tail coming in, that's the controversial element to it, isn't it? Isn't controversial now, but then it was. What was your take when the tail got thrown in then, immediately, watching it? Did you think, yes, right decision? What was your
absolutely right. I mean, there's some very big voices. One of your pals from DAZN, Tony Bellew, not agreeing. Some very big voices talking about Ben Davison should have kept Lee Wood in there. There were like 10, 12 seconds left to go. My immediate reaction was, why isn't Lara in the neutral corner? One. Yes. And then he was just behind the referee trying to pull the referee out of the way. And you can't blame it, but the referee should have stopped him, pushed him back to the neutral corner again. And the round probably would have been over. But the towel came in. I thought, yes. He looked on wobbly legs. He couldn't raise his hands, by the way, properly. Yeah. He didn't know where he was. Lara's a vicious puncher. I know we're going to get into the fight in a little bit. I've got a lot to say about it. Tremendous fight. They really delivered. Pinpoint, yes. Live to fight another day. Maybe invoke the rematch clause. But I had no issue whatsoever with Ben Davison throwing in the towel.
Yeah, and I'm happy you mentioned a couple of my sort of DAZN colleagues there. Tony Bellew was one after who was very vocal about it being the wrong decision, and he was wrong. And I think he's admitted it now as well. I think Nick Pete from Fight Disciples hasn't admitted it yet, but I think he on Twitter was like, that was wrong as well. Why do you think there were so many? Dan Raphael, another one saying that Lee Wood should sack Ben Davison. Why have there been so many people going the other way on this?
Well, there's two levels here. I mean, in the last few months, there's been a kind of a lot of hate peddling towards Ben Davison that's totally undeserved. He's a terrific young trainer. He's amongst the very best we've got and amongst the very best in the world. I know Ben intimately. He's a brilliant thinker on the sport. He literally dedicates himself to his fighters. He's a friend, a mentor, a psychologist. He loves his boxing. He's been around it all his life. And I think they're all looking at that Michael Conlan fight and how Wood has great powers of recovery and how he came back and he knocked him out. But Lara's a different animal. And we saw that during the fight. He got to Wood very early in the fight. And even though Wood was ahead on all three judges' cards, 59, 55, and 58, 56, I think it was, on the other two cards. Lara had a very good sixth round as well, and Wood seemed to come off the gas. And then again in the seventh round, as they exchanged those powerful left hooks, Wood went low, Lara went high, and, you know, it was chin music for the end of the night for him. And I don't see why people were thinking he could go on. I can only think that they were thinking about he had the power to put Lara out. Lara was wobbled a couple of times, but he wasn't really horribly damaged in the fight. Mm. But Lee was under pressure a lot. His face was marked very early on. The blood was to the surface. He didn't have any issues afterwards either. And he lives to fight another day. And that's key if he wants to invoke the rematch clause. Or it goes the other way for Josh Warrington after Spitgate.
Yeah, I like that Spitgate. I interviewed Lee in the ring. So that would have been probably 15 minutes or so after Ben Davison threw in the towel. And I could see, and I hate doing those interviews, but you've got to do them. And I could see that he was still concussed.
Yeah.
I could see it. The answers were a bit slower. He's normally very vocal. And look, obviously, a lot of that would be to do with disappointment. But he looked like he was still concussed. So 100% the right decision. And I 1,000,000,000% agree with you about the punch power of Lara. Like he had Lee wobbled in the second round. Yeah. And Lee landed some shots and they seemed to bounce off Lara's chin. I mean, I think Lee hurt him to the body a couple of times, but it almost felt inevitable that Lara was going to get to him. Like, unless he was perfect for 12 rounds.
I never had that. I didn't ever have that in my mind during the fight that he was going to get to him. I thought Wood's engine would help him, certainly before the fight. As the fight was progressing, you could see what Lara does. And it's very similar, by the way, to Deontay Wilder, this. If you are light on your feet and elusive and you move away from Wilder's hooks, he almost throws himself over with the power he puts into them. Mm-hmm. And we saw that from Lara maybe 4, 5, 6 times during the fight. He's putting everything in, literally throwing the torque of his TORQUE of his entire body into those punches. And I do feel the battery was draining a bit from Lee. And honestly, I hate the thought now in my head of Bell going for the eighth round and him taking 10, 12 power punches, trying to get through the round, fighting back. Because I didn't really see a moment in the fight. He was being beaten in some of the rounds, but I didn't see a moment in the fight when Lara was... He took time off and he regathered himself, but he wasn't being beaten up by Lee in that fight.
Yeah, yeah. No,
a body shot hurt him at one point, I think.
100%. And look, we've seen a couple of instances where fighters have saved their fighter. We saw it with Tunde Ajayi, obviously saving Anthony Yard against Baturbia. We saw the opposite, though, when you think of Kid Galahad and that fight against Kiko Martinez, where he shouldn't have come out for the round. No. He did. He got knocked out.
By exactly the same punch in the first 10 seconds of the next round. Yeah, absolutely.
There you
right.
go. And now you look at Kiko, who then went on to lose to Maxi Hughes, and his career's in tatters. So you've got to save a fighter for another day. You really do. What do they do with both next, you think? Lara first, the champion. What do you think they do with him?
I think he's the number one in the division, by the way. Obviously, he holds a world title now, the WBA title. Eddie Hearn promotes him or part promotes him, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah,
so,
he does,
I mean, what a wrecking ball he's brought over. He hasn't got a male champion now, you know, Eddie Hearn in the Matchroom stable. Obviously, he's got the women, Taylor, Chantel Cameron, I think Terry Harper?
Terry Harper is 150 pounds she is, yeah.
Yeah, so he's got a female champion, but no male champion. I'm not trying to dig there at Eddie, by the way. It's just fascinating.
In Britain,
obviously. Mauricio Lara, I don't know, you could do... He's not going to be able to spar maybe for 2 months now, Lee Woods, regardless of whether he's pulled out then. He's going to have time off. That'll be mandated by the board at least 30 days, it may be 60. He'll have his medicals after that. They will have decided. He'll know about that. I'd say maybe go for the Warrington trilogy now. It was all set up on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And then see what happens with that. And if Warrington does beat Lara, you can put Wood in with Warrington and the winner can face Lara again. There's a great little triumvirate there. I think the one guy I'd like to see in with Lara at some point now is Michael Conlon. Obviously, Lara is going to be very dangerous, but Conlon has the boxing skills to stretch that fight further as well. But I tell you what, they've unearthed a little diamond in Lara. It's an amazing division to come out of Mexico featherweight. 126-pound men in Mexico are not, it's not like they're few and far between. It's a regular, just a smaller than medium-sized man. So they've got a lot to choose from. Well, Wilfredo Gomez and all those great boxers that they've had over all the years, you know, the Morales, the Barreras, all those guys were slightly heavier at times, but it went up for further weight divisions. But what a pantheon of greats there are in that era. We might mention them all later. There's at least 10. But it was a good night. They delivered. What I liked was they delivered what they said they were going to do. I do think that Wood was trying to take the fight late.
Yeah, it could have been the case, but unfortunately... he didn't get there. All right, you listen to Vanna Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to hear from Josh Taylor and Jack Catterall, with both fighters set to move on from their rivalry and face new opponents. And we'll look ahead to Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury as well. But up next, we'll talk more about Mauricio Lara's win over Lee Wood and discuss the post-fight antics between Lara and Josh Warrington. And what does Gareth call it? Spitgate. We'll talk about Spitgate a bit later.
Well timed, but...
Simultaneously landing left hooks and down Wood goes. The danger very much still there. Dying seconds of the seventh round. Can Lara finish it here now? Barely 10 seconds to go and the towel comes in.
Ladies and gentlemen, the blue corner throws in the towel, causing referee Michael Alexander call a halt to this contest. The official time of the stoppage, 1 minute and 54 seconds of round number 7, declaring your winner by TKO and the new WBA featherweight champion of the world, Mauricio El Bronco Lara.
Welcome back to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Myself, Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. And let's continue this conversation about Ben Davison, Lee Wood, Mauricio Lara, Josh Warrington. You mentioned Michael Conlon, who I think's a fascinating name to chuck into the middle of this one, because a lot of people were saying to me, Adi, why don't they do Lee Wood, Michael Conlon now? Is that one, if you're Michael Conlon, do you want to go for that? Especially now, no world title. Is that a scratch that Michael Conlon wants to itch?
Oh, it's a good question. I mean, I think, you know, Lee's just gone out in front of a as you know, a voraciously supportive Nottingham crowd. The atmosphere looked amazing. I mean, I just thought it was phenomenal the way the fans supported him. That man, hashtag, or rather, at It's Lee Wood. He's got huge support there. It's definitely doable in Nottingham, but do the fans have the appetite yet for that? Lee's 34. Weirdly, someone put out that I said he should retire. I'm not sure about that. I think they'll probably end up invoking the rematch clause. Obviously, it'll depend on what Eddie Hearn wants to do with Josh Warrington as well. But I think Conlon and Wood doesn't fit after the result of that fight on Saturday night. Unless Lara and Warrington go at it, and then you could think about it. But I think Lee Wood, Addy, probably needs 6 months off after that, you know? I wouldn't like to see him fight for 6 months. Late summer, September time, you know, he took a very heavy punch. And
big one.
He's got to recover. He's got to, body, brain, all those things, chin, got to recover.
Yeah, I guess the big problem that they have with Lee, and look is that he's 34. Mm. If Lee was 31, you're right, you can almost say, you know, maybe take a step back and take it easy. At 34, there's only, I mean, his best years are behind him at that age, right?
Absolutely. I mean, at featherweight.
At featherweight.
You ask people like Barry McGuigan, the former WBC or I can't remember, WBC, WBA champion. The best days are behind you at 28 as a 126 pounder. The body thickens up. There was a more stringy element to him physically in this fight. I don't know whether I'm imagining that. And I've got the optics of him being knocked out at the end, but you shouldn't be able to go on too long in your 30s at 126 pounds. So you never know. He could move weights, for example.
I think so, potentially.
Well.
Yeah, I think so. And that's the thing you do, isn't it? If you want to sort of elongate your career at that lower weight class, all the best have jumped up in weight. All the best have done it. Some have jumped two weight classes just to make sure they can stay about. Look at Lee Selby. Lee Selby did it, didn't he? When he lost to Josh Warrington, went up two weight classes and got a couple more fights. Didn't look great two weights above, but that's what you do when you are getting a bit old. Josh Warrington was ringside, and I think the plan from sort of Matcham and DAZN was that Lee Wood won, I think they would have done a little face-off between Lee Wood and Josh Warrington, and that would have happened at the City Ground or Ellen Road. It didn't happen. Josh got spat at by, which I hated, by the way, Mauricio Lara. You know what it is? I was actually interviewing him in the ring. He kept spitting in the ring as I was talking to him. And I was like, what are you... Honestly, me and Eddie looked at each other like, what are you doing? Like, honestly, every 10 seconds, just spat on the floor. Just spat on the floor. And I was like, ugh, it's horrible.
While you're interviewing him?
So basically, obviously, it was through a translator. So every time I went back to the translator, he spat on the floor. And I was like, okay, this is... Stop. Stop. I didn't want to say that because I just saw his left hook. But I was thinking, enough, my man. But it didn't surprise me then when people told me he spat at Josh Warrington, and hence why Josh Warrington went mad.
Look, I'll say this. Next time you got him in that situation, you have to say, párate de hacer esto, por favor. Yeah?
Say it again. Say it gets slower.
Párate de hacer esto, por favor.
Hope you ain't telling me to say anything about his mom or dad.
Will you stop doing that, please?
Yeah, he's got to. Honestly, it wasn't nice.
But he is the number one in the division for me, by the way, and he's a terrific fighter. And, you know, Eddie's created a monster, really, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. He's now become the boogeyman of the division as well. And I spoke to him and asked him about that. And look, there are other good featherweights in the division. Isaac Dogbo's there. Rabisi Ramirez is there. But the best ones have gone up. Navarrete has gone up. Ray Vargas, who recently lost, has gone up. So for me, he's number one. I would love to see him against another crazy man, that Luis Alberto Lopez that beat Josh Warrington. Two Mexicans going at it in Mexico or anywhere in America. I think that would be fascinating. But yeah, he's dangerous. One thing he certainly isn't, and I hope I don't get sued for this, he's not 24.
Oh, that's a big call.
There's no way. No, it really isn't. It really isn't. There's no way that kid's 24. I don't know what you mean.
He does look about 30, but think about this, right? Let me pose this to you. I found this list now. It's courtesy, by the way, of Boxing News last week. It put a fantastic list of Mexican featherweight champions. I wonder whether Mauricio Lara will enter this pantheon one day. Salvador Sanchez, yeah? Vicente Salvidar. Marco Antonio Barrera, Juan Manuel Marquez, Ruben Olivares is a name that will spring to mind from the 70s, Eric Morales, Jorge Paez, that was in the 80s, Manuel Medina, remember him?
I do remember Medina.
Yeah, 1991-1998, a brilliant world champion, Johnny Gonzalez, first round KO of Abner Mares, who was very strong at the time, and Orlando Salido.
Salido, who beat Loma.
2010. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What a list. I think if he can keep going and he can beat the Conlans of this world and the Ray Vargas and all these guys, if he can go through all of these, obviously, as we said, Navarrete's going up and chase Navarrete up a division in three or four fights' time, he could have well enter that pantheon. He hasn't had the perfect dance partner yet. For we thought Lee Wood was that on Saturday night. And Wood, I don't say wasn't up to it, but I still favour Lara in the second fight, maybe even more strongly this time.
Yeah, once you put someone to sleep like that, then you know you can do it again. It's a bit like the Eubank-Smith thing. It's actually quite unlucky. You mentioned in some of those names, and I guess to almost be in the conversation with those guys, you're going to need to win more world titles. And he's unlucky because obviously when he beat Josh, Josh just vacated the IBF. When he beat Josh, so really and truly, he should be talking about a unified featherweight champion here. But he can do a lot of damage, honestly. And I think they should stop him at the border. Don't let him in again because, yeah. I mean, this guy's just coming over and just wrecking our Brit sea. He really is. He's wrecking them.
Well, think about it. He came over here, Eddie, in lockdown with probably no hope. He's not a rich man. And the UK has opened the world for him. It used to be we were all going over there. Yeah. Our guys were going over there to prove themselves. I mean, it's extraordinary. And I think, I don't know if it's confirmed yet, but I think May 20th, one of our very own John Ryder from just down the road here in Essex is going to be going over to fight Canelo in Mexico, isn't he?
Yeah, it's funny. I think they are going to confirm that very soon. And, you know, I've spoken to John and I'm like, of all the options, like John was like, yeah, they can't wait. Madison Square Garden, maybe Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, we might do it at the Emirates, the Middle East. No, you're going to Mexico, my friend.
Yeah, you're going to Mexico. You're going to get 35,000-40,000 Mexicans spitting on you. Talk about Spitgate. I don't want to insult the Mexican nation here.
I don't think they'll spit. I know what you meant. It was an analogy. They'll make it very difficult.
Very, very difficult. That's the lion's den, and they're going to try and eat him in morsels.
No, it will be a fascinating fight for John Ryder if it gets announced. But we are starting to get a really good run of fights as well. We've had Lee Wood, Lara on the weekend before that, Baturbi of Yar before that, Eubank versus Smith. Hopefully it continues to run of good fights over here in Britain. Go on.
Well, just as we end this section, I believe, I'm told, I've been digging around.
Is this a bit of breaking news?
Breaking news, but it's certainly insider information.
Okay.
There's a lot of mystique around what's going on with Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk at the moment. And I've talked to a lot of the main men involved. And I believe that we may get a resolution in the next couple of days. And we need to, because it's only 64 days now to April the 29th. It's not going to be Saudi. It's all pinned for Wembley Stadium, April 29th. They are very close, I'm hearing, to getting it over the line.
You haven't actually said the names. You know you didn't say the names.
Well, we don't need to. April 29th. Tyson Fury against Alexander Usyk for the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world.
That's music to every fight fan's ears, because that's what we want. It's the biggest fight that can be made this year. Like, don't get me wrong, all these other divisions are fantastic. Like, Floyd elevated the welterweight division and, you know, all the guys at 135 and the small kids at 122 and one. But the heavyweight division is it. It's the glamour division. It's the big money division. And you've got two fantastic fighters. So Gareth, Hopefully it's breaking news by the time this comes out, but that's great, great news. All right, listen to Vanna Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we'll talk Fury versus Paul, which is live on TalkSport this weekend. It's on a Sunday. Make sure you put that one in the calendars. Next up, though, we're going to hear from Josh Taylor and Jack Catchrell. Their much-anticipated rematch is dead. It's done after Josh Taylor agreed to fight Teofimo Lopez.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. You're listening to Vanna Extra on TalkSport 2. Myself, Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. So Josh Taylor versus Jack Catchrell is not happening, people. Not for now, anyway. It potentially could happen at the back end of 2023. But Josh Taylor looks like he's going to go on to fight Teofimo Lopez. For Jack Catchrell, he could go on and fight Regis Prograis for the WBC title. Let's hear from both men. Let's start with Josh Taylor, who actually has blamed Ben Shalom for costing Catchrell the rematch.
Ben Shalom's done his own fighter out a mega fight because it's just to get him out and keep fit fight. But what happens if Jack had had that fight? And anything can happen in boxing. What happens if he goes out, breaks a hand, gets cut, gets injured, or gets knocked out, or gets beat? That's the fight completely gone anyway. So for me, that's a stupid movement from their behalf, for him and his team. Stupid, completely stupid. All you had to do was wait a number of weeks, get the fight. Ben had to get the fight sorted and a date locked in and get it done, and it'd been done, you know. And then I get an email on Monday just past there from the WBO that we're mandating you to fight Teofimo Lopez. So it's like, right, okay, if I don't fight Teofimo Lopez and go for the Caro fight to try and please other people that I couldn't give a monkeys about, it's my title. I've let go of all the rest of the other belts. Make this happen. I've been very patient and waiting and getting the fight happen, making the fight happen. So I have to let go of another belt now. So no, I'm keeping the belt that I've got, and it's a good fight. And I actually think that it's a better fight than the Caro fight. I think it's a harder fight than the Caro fight. I think Teofimo Lopez is a much higher caliber of opponent than Caro, given that he's had a couple of crap performances, but he's a very, very good high-level opponent.
Josh Taylor there, blaming everyone apart from himself, right? Blaming Ben Shalom, blaming Jack Catchrell. You spoke to him, Gareth. That's from your clip. What would you make of the blame game that's going around here?
Well, exactly that. It's obviously Josh Taylor told, they were going to announce that fight, weren't they, with them in the ring at the Eubank Liam Smith fight in Manchester. But obviously, Josh Taylor had the plantar fascia injury the week before. I've seen him at home in his boot. He thinks he's going to be another 5 to 6 weeks before he's running on his feet again. And then obviously there was that announcement on March 25th on the, is it the Lawrence Okolie card? Am I right in thinking?
It was. You are correct.
That they'd put Catterall out for a fight. And I think when Jack Catterall was announced as being out for a fight, they went and looked at someone else. We'll hear from Jack Catterall and what he has to think about that. He doesn't agree with that. He says the timing is not that. But Josh Taylor's argument is they put that fight out. And I thought, well, what if he loses? Why am I waiting? Teofimo Lopez was there. The WBO ordered it, didn't they, as well, for him to face Teofimo Lopez. So that fight's on. Josh is talking about maybe it going to America. I think it should go to Scotland myself and get Lopez over here. Take all the advantages you can get. It's a fantastic fight. It's a dangerous fight. It's a fine mess.
Is it a bigger fight? Josh said it's a harder and bigger fight than Jack Catterall. True or false?
Not a bigger fight for the UK fans because everybody wanted to see the rematch. He also had, an off night, taking nothing away from Jack Catterall on the night. As I will consistently and constantly say, I had Catterall winning by a couple of rounds that night. It was a close, scrappy fight, but I had Catterall winning by a couple of rounds. And Josh Taylor proving that he is worthy of still holding the belts. It's a mess because he gave all those belts up as well to keep that WBO title and have the fight with Jack Catterall. It's a mess because he got an injury. On the surface, I'm going to believe that everything that everyone's saying. I don't think the two men like each other. Catterall Taylor for the UK is a big, big fight, the rematch. But stylistically, on a world level, Teofimo Lopez and Josh Taylor is a fantastic fight as well.
Yeah, I think for Josh, you're right. Bigger fight in the UK, no. Bigger fight worldwide, Josh Taylor, Teofimo, absolutely. In terms of what it does in raising his profile in America, it's one of those fights that it goes on your CV and it's like, wow, you've beaten Teofimo Lopez. So I can understand why Josh would jump at that. Let's hear from Jack Catterall. Obviously, clearly upset about this fight not happening. He's wasted a year of his career, which is ridiculous. This is what he had to say, not just about Josh Taylor fight falling through, but potentially getting the WBC title fight against Regis Progre.
Taylor injured himself, and then it looked like he's going to be fighting Lopez. I think I've made it quite clear now to my promoters and to my team that I don't want to take over fight, and we are pursuing a fight with Regis Progre. I won't be fighting in Manchester on March the 25th.
Okay.
We are in negotiations for a fight with Regis for the WBC world title. But yeah, it's just been frustrating times. We'll probably get into it. But yeah, as of now, I am in the gym training and we are looking for a potential fight with Regis.
Jack Catterall there speaking. It's look again, blame game. Who's to blame, right? I mean, in a good way, this is a very good runner-up prize. I mean, Regis Progre for the WBC title isn't bad. I mean, it's not like he's fighting for the European or Commonwealth strap. He's going to fight Regis Progre, but it's not Josh Taylor. It probably won't be the same money as Josh Taylor. So you can understand why Jack Catterall is peeved here, very peeved.
Yeah, and I think he's got the more difficult opponent as well. Regis Progre, I think, was it majority decision or split decision against Josh Taylor way back when at the O2 Arena? It was a very, very close fight. And it took it down to the championship rounds for Josh to win that night. They're both very accomplished fighters. I've got so much time for Regis Progre. He's a phenomenal athlete and fighter. And he is definitely world class, if not elite class. And I think Jack's got the more difficult assignment. He's also up against Progre, who knows how to compete at world level, is very accomplished in that way. Whereas Teofimo Lopez is moving up in weight as well. He's moved up from lightweight, rather. He's obviously up there already, but he's moving up from lightweight to 140 pounds. What I will say for Jack Catterall is I don't blame him for going for the WBC title, but I would have much preferred him seeing him fight Josh Taylor. It's going to be a different kind of fight for him. Both men have said that they still want to have the fight, but it may be on the back of one of them losing or both of them losing. I hope if one loses and one wins, they still want to fight later on and want to put their own belt on the line against the other.
Yeah. If you're Jack, it probably means, look, Regis has come over here before and he still thinks the loss against Josh is controversial and it only happened Josh's way because the fight was here at the O2 Arena. If you're Jack, does that mean you're having to go to America to fight Regis? Do you think Regis will come over here and fight Jack?
It depends what Boxer and Ben Shalom want to do. You know, I think they will try and create the advantages. Obviously, the timing works for Boxer to have an event over here. I mean, they're even going to France now, aren't they, on March the 11th?
I saw that.
Which looks phenomenal with Dan Aziz, who was in the studio with Adam and Catrell and myself on Saturday night. We had a fantastic 45 minutes. And he's very highly ranked, by the way. I'm digressing here.
I love him. I love him as well. I love him.
He's got the laugh of Frank Bruno. He's got the personality of a superstar. And as he says to me, and as we both know, he's ready. He's staying ready. He's highly ranked in all four organizations. And his call for a world title shot could come any time. It could literally come any time. So I'm glad they're taking Dan to Paris. It's a sign of good things. They believe in him. I think they'll get Regis Progre over here for Jack Catterall. He's got a following now. But if Jack wants to go to the States, like Josh wants to go to the States for Teofimo Lopez, go to New York, for the Honduran community. I always say Puerto Rico. I always get it wrong. It's Honduran. But maybe both guys will be here if they can do it on alternate weekends.
No, I was going to say the same weekend. Like, it's going to go on pay-per-view. Josh Taylor, Teofimo Lopez. Imagine co-main event, Regis Progre, Jack Catterall. Take my money. Take my money.
Take all of it. Absolutely.
Well, 1995 anyway. All right, next up, we're going to turn our attention to Tommy Fury versus Jake Paul. Remember, it's this weekend. It's live and exclusive on Talk Sport.
Big attack from the opening bell on the right hand puts him down.
Losing never comes into my head, and especially about Jake Paul. No matter how many times me and him has been scheduled to fight, never, ever once has it ever come into my head that he's going to beat me.
And now he's down again, and that is it. Jake Paul with a first round destruction.
You know, he's unprofessional. He's a flake. He's not a serious businessman. He's not a serious fighter.
Welcome back. You're listening to Viner Extra. I'm talking to myself, Adam Lipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. All right, time has come. Finally, after going back and forth what feels like a couple of years, we are, and you know, let's not tempt fate here, because you know, Tommy Fury has pulled out once before, but we are going to get Jake Paul twice, I've been told, but we are going to get Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury this Sunday. It will be live and exclusive on TalkSport as well. Gareth's going to be working on the fight card for us. Gareth, it's happening, the big one.
It is finally. Let me give you the big read. It's Sunday and TalkSport is bringing you exclusive radio commentary of Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury live from Saudi Arabia. Let me just, for the listeners, it's free, by the way. Coverage on the night will start at 7 p.m. on TalkSport 2 before switching over to TalkSport at 9 p.m. for the main event. There's also loads of build-up through the week. Sunday, the 26th of February, Eddie. That's the key thing. It's Sunday night, not Saturday night. It's been a long time in the making. It's for bragging rights. It's for bragging rights of a boxer against an influencer. Who's the influencer? Who's the boxer? Family honor is on the line here. As well as family honor, is Tommy Fury defending boxing by fighting Jake Paul? He has it all to lose. Jake Paul's the favorite with the bookies. He's 6-0, 4 knockouts in 3 years as a boxer. Tommy's 8-0 with 6 knockouts in his career. They're fighting at cruiserweight. There's loads of things to discuss here, but we're all rubbernecking a Southern Area title for millions of pounds, basically.
Yeah, it is a Southern Area title. You are correct. And if Tommy Fury is the one defending boxing, then we might be in trouble because I wouldn't have sent him to defend boxing. But look, it's a big fight. And I said it at the top, in terms of financials, one of the biggest fights that can be made this year, isn't it?
No, it is. I mean, I believe that Tommy Fury is going to earn in the region of 5 million. Could be 3 or 4 times that for Jake Paul by the time his numbers and subscribers are in. BT Sport are behind it. ESPN's behind it. It's getting the big build-up. Talk Sport are behind it, obviously. Two of the biggest promoters in boxing history are behind it. I mean, it's enormous in so many ways. And yet, what is it? It's a little spat for bragging rights, and we're all rubbernecking. But you know what? It's on the extremities of real boxing where Jake Paul, you'd never have been able to say 3 years ago, or even think about saying this, Jake Paul got knockout of the year against Tyrone Woodley with ESPN, and then he knocked down Anderson Silva during a bout. You're never going to, you couldn't dream that. That's alternative universe stuff. He has got better. I remember standing next to him the other day at the Arta Beterbiev and Anthony Yard fight, interviewing him for Talk Sports. And he's a big lad, you know, and Tommy's a big lad. They've got power, both of them. They're both athletic. There's a lot of pressure on Tommy Fury in this fight. There's a lot of pressure. And Jake Paul seems to love it. He's a brilliant marketeer. It's the two most well-known fight sport marketeering families in the world, right? Families in the world. Now, if you take Logan and Jake and you take the Furies, it's quite fascinating in lots of ways.
Yeah, and that's why there is so much money in it. As you said, you know, Tommy could be getting $5 million, pounds, euros, whatever it is, it's going to be big. And Jake could be getting double or triple that. And that's because, it isn't just because of Jake, Tommy, it's because of Jake, Logan, KSI, chuck all that in. Tyson Fury, Tommy Fury, Frank Warren, BT. It's literally everything. Honestly, it's everything. Did you see today the Carl Froch call out, or Jake Paul call out Carl Froch and Carl Froch respond?
Yeah, he's offering 200 grand, isn't he, to fight Anderson Silva on the undercard. Get yourself over there, Carl. And if Jake Paul wins, you can go and have a little cruiserweight dig with Jake Paul and prove us all wrong at the age of, what's Carl, 43 or something now?
45, I believe.
I wouldn't want to see that.
We actually have the audio. Let's hear it. This is Carl Froch's call out of Jake Paul.
Listen, just in case you didn't know, my last fight was at Wembley Stadium in front of 80,000 fans. But anyway, you've got a job to do against Tommy Fury. If by some miracle you manage to beat Tommy Fury, then I'll listen to you. I'll have a little chat with you, see what garbage comes out of your mouth, see what you've got to say. But until then, don't talk about me. I'm a four-time world champion. You're not a professional fighter. You're a performing clown. That's all you are. So keep my name out of your mouth until you've done something in the game. I think this Saturday your world ends. But if it doesn't, and you are stupid enough to take a fight with me, when this right hand lands on your chin, it will put you into orbit and not that stupid barnet off the top of your head.
Carl Froch there, I thought it was fantastic. Because for those of you, let me just paint a picture as well, because he's in his garage, he's got his big heavy bag next to him, he's showing his WBC titles. And look, as much as you say, wait one second, actually, Gav, you said you wouldn't want to see it because...
I think Carl Froch is still in fantastic shape and is a very accomplished boxer. Who I think even at this age, how long has he been out now? Is it four
it's
years?
It's been a while. No, that George Groves fight must be longer than that.
That's 2013,
14. Wow, 9 years.
I think so.
Yeah, you know, you might be correct.
Think so. Let's have a look. I think it's 9 years ago, you know. And I mean,
I said, and I'm, you know, I think I'm correct. I said, I was with Carl on Saturday and he's in shape. He's not one of those that have let himself go. I said, give him a month to get fit and he flattens Jake Paul.
It's 9 years ago in May that he fought George Groves at Wembley in front of 80,000 people, as you know.
I give him 3 months to get fit.
Nine years
is a long time.
Thing is with Jake Paul, he just doesn't care, does he? That's what I like about him. You know, and I love the jeopardy. He's always got an answer. Come and fight Anderson Silva for a couple of hundred grand. And that's what he says. I'll give you the biggest payday you've ever had in your life. And he's probably not wrong.
You know what made me laugh, though? Carl in that clip was like, one second. You want me, who sold out Wembley Stadium, to fight on your undercard? Yeah, it's like, ain't happening. You want me, you get me. I'm not like what Jake's doing. He's already finding opponents. He's the perfect, as you say, the perfect salesman. He's already like, you know what, if I beat Tommy, we've got another one lined up already. It's fantastic.
He's got cojones, he's got marketing now. He's embraced this game. I think he's taking it seriously. I don't think the little viral clips that he puts out are just marketing. I think he's actually putting the work in. If you look at him physically over time, he has really, really grown into that cruiserweight shape. And what is he, 26, 27? He's in his athletic prime. I don't want to see him fight Carl Froch and others. I mean, we've seen enough. I mean, the Paul brothers between them already have fought two legends in Anderson Silva and Floyd. Who's obviously here this week. We haven't given him a mention yet. Floyd's here in an exhibition bout with Aaron Chalmers.
We've been talking about so many superstars. How have we forgotten about the great Floyd Mayweather? Very quickly, I want to end on this one, Gareth. The WBC have said that the winner of this fight will be ranked. That's Mauricio Suleiman and his people saying, you know what, the winner of this fight will be ranked. We have, in Jake Paul, someone that's never fought a boxer, and in Tommy Fury, someone that's only had, what, 6 or 7 knockarounds. What do you make of that?
Eight knockarounds of 6K as well. He hasn't fought anyone of any note that gives him a ranking. I mean, I think they're ranked, when I looked last earlier on today, they're 360 and 340 in the world at cruiserweight. And then, you know, they're around about 50 in their own countries. So, and let's not forget, Badu Jack and Alumba Makabu are fighting for the WBC cruiserweight title on that card on Saturday night. So how weird would it be if Badu Jack wins and then calls out Jake Paul because he's beaten Tommy Fury to come and have a fight with him because he's ranked 15 in the world now? That won't happen. The WBC are clearly, I think, you know, and I know Mauricio Suleiman, the president, very well. I think they're clearly trying to look at shaving a certain percentage off by sanctioning Jake Paul's fights.
Of course.
But this doesn't merit a world ranking. And I think between the lines, people were reading too much, saying it was a top 15, but I think it's a top 40. It doesn't even merit a top 40 ranking, frankly. But it's a fascinating weekend. We've got that going on over there. It's a bit of a circus. I've been chatting to Aaron Chalmers for the last few weeks. He can't believe that he's facing Floyd Mayweather on Saturday night at the O2 Arena. Floyd always wanted a fight here in the UK. He might get a little bit of barracking himself because Newcastle are playing in the final of the Carabao Cup on Sunday, aren't they? So it's a little bit of a tip there for Aaron Chalmers because they'll all be coming down early and piling into the O2 Arena for a bit of entertainment on Saturday night to see their Geordie chum get probably knocked around a bit by Floyd Mayweather. But, you know, it's a bit of fun anyway.
I think Floyd's going to be slightly disappointed with the amount of people that don't turn up for this one. I feel like this has not been pushed as much as it should have been. But still, Floyd Mayweather, and if I can get a free ticket, if you can sort me out a free ticket, Gareth, I'm coming, if you don't mind. By the way, quickly, just as we end, some breaking news. This is literally just broken, and it's MMA-related, UFC-related. Triple C is back. Henry Cejudo is going to fight Aljamain Sterling for the bantamweight title May 6, UFC 288. Me and you, Gareth, have always been speaking about the lack of stars, and all of a sudden, John Jones is back, Conor McGregor's back, Henry Cejudo is back. Dana White's obviously starting to pay the checks because the stars are coming back. Gareth, as always, my man, enjoy Saturday. Sunday, apologies. When's Mayweather? Sunday or Saturday?
Saturday night. Saturday night, the O2 Arena.
Saturday night, the O2 Arena. Enjoy that and enjoy your work on the Tommy Fury, Jake Paul fight as well. That's it for this week. Thank you so much for downloading our Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're back every single Tuesday for more great content. And if you miss us, make sure you subscribe to Fight Night to catch up on all our other episodes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.